We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Director and professor of law at Loyola, because the things, and I've said this before, and we spent an hour with Michael Glasser yesterday, and we gave some light to what was going on at NOPD and PIB, Public Integrity Bureau. Maybe now we can shed some light on what's going on with this Wisner Trust. And usually the things you've heard me say before that involve the most money are the most complicated to follow. And Robert Sarrazoli, the first inspector general of the city, left and went back to Boston because he said that the streams of revenue were almost impossible to follow. And this could be one of those streams of revenue of which he was speaking. I don't know. Professor Monica Hoff-Wallace, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks again for having me to talk about this again. And I'm really excited the media is spending time on this issue because, but for the media, I'm not sure people would be aware of what happened here because it's troubling.
Everybody's busy and they don't have time to follow stories, especially if it involves drawing circles and lines and a flow chart to understand what happened where and the legalities and so forth. But when you're talking about tens of millions of dollars and where it's gone, that's why I like to take this 9 o'clock hour to spend some time on that and expose all of this stuff so people can understand it and do get what's going on. Professor, I think it would be best if we just pretended that we never spoke and just start from the beginning. What is the Wisner Trust?
Okay, so the Wisner Trust originated from a gift made by Edward Wisner back in 1914, and he gave to the city of New Orleans about 50,000 acres of marshland located in Jefferson, St. John the Baptist, and Lafourche parishes. It was marshland at the time. He had this great goal that it would be farmland, and he gave it all to the city of New Orleans, and he listed all of these beneficial interests within this donation, which included Charity Hospital, Tulane, and the Salvation Army, along with many other beautification projects, the firefighters of New Orleans, all charitable purposes to turn this land over to the city. Now, at the time, it didn't have the value that it has today, but today we know a lot of this area as Port Fouchon. And so because of lucrative royalties from offshore oil and gas industries, this land now has a great value. I haven't seen anything that specifically has stated what the value of the land is, but I can tell you that the royalties coming off of this land have averaged between, I think, as low as $5 million up to $9 million a year. So it's throwing off a lot of money for the benefit of the beneficiaries. So that was set up back in 1914. Now, Mr. Wisner then died in 1915. The donation that he set up had a 100-year term. So for 100 years, any income generated from the land and the value of the land should have been used for this, for these charitable purposes that I just spoke about. You want me to keep
going? I'm taking notes and I am paying attention. Please, you're doing a great job.
Okay.
Wait, let me just jump in real quick. In terms of these charities, is this a public record? Is there a way where people can find out exactly what charities received this money and where that money went?
you can read the donation, and the donation spells out the beneficiaries that Mr. Wisner wanted to receive this money. And I would presume that there are records about who received the funds generated. Now, in the early years, I'm not sure that this land had a lot of value at the time. Mr. Wisner thought about that, and in the donation, he talks about if the land is sold, then what happens. So it's, I'm sure there must be records about what happened during the early period of the Windsor Trust.
I guess
what
I'm
tell you what happened. Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Professor. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was gonna keep going.
Oh, okay. See, here's my question. I just wonder if all of the beneficiaries knew that they had this coming to them, and whose job was it to tell the beneficiaries that Mr. Wisner wanted you to have this?
Yes, I do think that they knew because a commission was set up to monitor the funds. I'm not exactly sure when that happened from the original donation, but certainly that Charity Hospital became LSU and Tulane have been aware and have received money from this trust for many years.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
No. So what happens is he dies in 1915, and 13 years after his death, his wife and two daughters filed suit to receive what they said was their share of the donation that he gave away in 1914. Now, we don't really know what the resolution of that lawsuit would be because the city and the other charitable beneficiaries in 1929 signed what is known as a compromise agreement. And what they did is in this compromise, the city, Tulane, LSU, and the Salvation Army took less than they were entitled to under the original donation and gave to the Windsor ladies 40% of the revenues from the trust. Now, let me just stop and explain how a trust works, because this is really critical to the analysis. So what happens when an individual leaves property in trust, he can name two types of beneficiaries: an income beneficiary that receives income that's generated from whatever property is placed in trust, and then a principal beneficiary who receives the property at the termination of the trust. And that, when we spoke on Tuesday, you can also refer to as the corpus of the trust. Okay. The corpus is the property that's placed in trust, and to the extent that it throws off income, an individual can receive income from the trust and ultimately never receive the corpus of the trust, but just receive income during the life of the trust. So what it looks like happened in 1929, pursuant to this agreement, that the city of New Orleans agreed to pay income from the trust to the Wisner ladies. Now, what is very curious about this compromise agreement, and it's interesting that it wasn't raised at that time, was that Louisiana has long recognized the principles of trust indestructibility, which means that once a trust is settled by the settlor, and that's the person who donates the property into the trust, that even the trustees and the beneficiaries cannot agree to modify or to terminate that trust with very limited exception. So in 1929, in this compromise agreement, it's not as though the beneficiaries, the city and the other charitable beneficiaries, could have agreed to make the Wisner ladies beneficiaries of a trust. Now, they could have agreed to give them some of their own income, right? I, the city, receive income from the trust, and I agree to pay the Wisner ladies some share of that. I think that would have been possible, but they could not have agreed to name them as a principal beneficiary to give them the corpus of the trust.
Because if I can jump in, because it would have been illegal according to state law, and you can't enter into a private contract that supersedes state law, correct?
Correct.
And that's why you said the trust couldn't give the Wisner ladies the money, but if the trust was followed, according to the letter, as it was supposed to be, then after the beneficiaries received their share as stated in the trust without changing it, they could then compensate the Wisner ladies if they chose to. Do I have it?
I think that's right. Okay. And that now, that raises all sorts of issues if the city could have given money to private individuals. I mean, I think that would have had to have been approved at the time anyway.
Right, that's right, because you're giving away public money at that point.
Right, because you would be giving away public money. But they enter into this compromise agreement, and that's approved by a court, and it's really just an approval of their agreement. It's not as though these issues were litigated. So a court really never considered all the issues I'm discussing right now. It was just signing off on what the city and the other charitable beneficiaries agreed
on. But at no point, Professor, wait, at no point did the court back in 1929 say, wait a minute, this is a violation of state law. Wait a minute, maybe it violates the city charter by giving away public money?
No, because no one asked the court to look at it. They just asked them to sign this consent judgment, which is we all agree and just sign off on what we agree on. And courts do that all the time because they believe the parties are looking out for their own interests.
Okay.
And so it's curious to me why that was never raised back in 1929, but it wasn't. And so the Wisner ladies received monies for many years.
All right, let me stop right there, Professor. I think that's a good point to take a break. We got three of them we got to take this hour. So we'll leave it at 1929. The court signs off on it. The Wisner ladies are receiving 40% of the revenue, but not the corpus because it hasn't been sold because it is part of the trust, the principal, the land itself, correct?
You've got it.
I'm trying to stay up with you, Professor. If
y'all
have any questions, 504-260-1870. I know it's complicated, but y'all, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars here. Who's getting it? Where's it going? Why are we giving it away if it's the city's money, et cetera? 922, back in a flash, WWL. 927, quickly back to Monica Hoff-Wallace, Advocacy Center, Executive Director and Policy of Law at Loyola, talking us through the Wisner Trust. We don't have time to recap it, but Tim's going to post the audio, and you'll be able to listen to this as a podcast to catch up. So as we stand now, Professor, 1929, the court approves the settlement. The Wisner ladies are getting 40% of the proceeds,
revenue,
income, royalties, whatever it is that's coming from the land, not proceeds, that the land is producing. Please take us from that moment on.
All right, and you'll really find this interesting. In 1933, the Wisner ladies gave to their lawyers to pay their fees 30% of their 40% interest in the trust. So now the Wisner Trust, at that point, the Wisner Trust was paying not only the Windsor ladies and ultimately their heirs, but the Wisner ladies' lawyers and ultimately their heirs.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For a period of time throughout the term of the trust.
But not 70%, so, just 30% of that 40%, correct? We're just adding on people that are getting paid at this point.
That's right. And gotcha. So they and I think this is important because at termination of the trust, which happened in 2014, and we're certain that the trust terminated in 2014 because there was litigation about whether the trust was perpetual. It went up all the way to the Fourth Circuit. The Supreme Court denied hearing any appeal of the case, which made it a final judgment. And in that court case, the court decided that the trust terminated in August of 2014. So upon a trust termination, the property in the trust immediately is owned by the beneficiaries of the corpus of the trust, the principal beneficiary, which is the city. And so the city really should have turned the property over to themselves and maybe the charitable beneficiaries that were first named in the Wisner Trust. But instead of doing that, they, for a six-year period, continue to operate the Wisner Trust as it had been operating for the past 100 years, continuing to give some share of the revenues to the Windsor ladies and to their lawyers.
Mitch Landrieu was mayor at that time. Is there any type of legal paper trail on this? Does anybody know why this happened, how it happened?
I do not know. Mitch Landrieu was the mayor at the time. Mm-hmm. And if you read the Fourth Circuit opinion, it says that the mayor is questioning the validity and the enforceability of the compromise agreements, but he can't do this in this proceeding. This was procedurally a different type of proceeding.
But the mayor wouldn't be questioning it on behalf of the city. He would be questioning it is what he's doing, in fact, on behalf of the beneficiaries, correct?
Well, and the beneficiaries were the city. So I think he would have been he should have, in my opinion, back in 2014. At that point, if he wasn't sure if the city was the beneficiary to receive all of the property from the trust, then he should have filed a court action to get the court to declare who is the principal beneficiaries. And in my opinion, the court at that point would have said it's all charitable beneficiaries. It's not private individuals. The compromise agreement, which it looks like the mayor may have understood, was inappropriate. And the city may have been able to give these ladies income over years, but the corpus of the trust was never transferred to these private individuals. In fact, it was directly contrary to Mr. Wisner's gift. Mr. Wisner wanted the city to benefit from this property, not private individuals. And so the city couldn't decide to make the private individuals beneficiaries of the corpus of the trust at its termination. And essentially, that's what they did in entering into this ratification agreement. So trust ends in 2014. For the next 6 years, it looks like there must have been negotiations with representative of the Wisner ladies, the other charitable beneficiaries, and the city. In 2020, the mayor, then Mayor Cantrell, signed a ratification, extension, modification, and an amendment agreement. That's what it's styled. And what it attempts to do is it attempts to continue the trust in perpetuity that was originally settled by Mr. Wisner, which I don't even think under the law is possible. I think that the city could institute a new trust. They would have had to get city council approval and probably the legal department approval. But to just extend the term of the trust, again, a trust under Louisiana state law is indestructible. I mean, you have to follow what the trust agreement says. The trust agreement said that it ended after 100 years. The trust terminated. The corpus of the trust goes to the beneficiaries, which did not include private individuals. So the city should have received the corpus of the trust, which would then entitle them to receive the revenues of the trust and not pay these revenues to other private individuals. The other problem with this agreement is it attempts to make the trust perpetual. And under Louisiana state law, it is clear that a trust cannot be perpetual if it is in favor of private individuals. Charitable trusts can last in perpetuity, but trust in favor of you and me can't last forever. And so that in the agreement was inappropriate too. And it's clear that the city council didn't see this agreement. The mayor's signature is on it, but it looks like it's in violation, and this is what the city council is suing about, in violation of a lot of state laws.
I think it's a good point to break, and we'll try to understand everything that we've just heard. I have so many questions, Professor. Somebody texted in and said, what hand did Ray Nagin have? That was basically saying that I'm curious to know how Ray Nagin was tapping the Wisner money to fund Irvin Mayfield and the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra. I don't know if that's true or not, but do we know what mayors throughout history have done with the Wisner money? Is that allocated in a budget somewhere or not? Or accounted for in a budget?
I do not know the answer to that question. I know I was writing down the mayors that were serving during this period. Ray Nagin served from 2002 to 2010. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of money being dispersed back then. I am sure there are records in the trusts that this board that had to give advice and consent to the mayor before releasing the funds. There must be records there that show who were the recipients of the funds coming out of the trust. I'm not sure who holds those records.
Is it premature and purely speculative to say that these, and I'm quoting Bob Serrazoli, what he told me directly, this is not hearsay, this is what he told me about streams of revenue, is it going off on a limb to say that maybe this could have been some of what he was referring to?
I really have no knowledge of where this money was going and how it was being accounted for and to whom.
Do we have any idea how much money from 2014 we're talking about that? So correct me if I'm wrong here, Professor, before we go to the break. Wisner set the trust up, not 2014, in 1914. Then he died in 1915. 1928, the Wisner ladies say, wait a minute, we don't want it all going to the city and the other charities. We want a cut of it. At that point, in 1929, the court signs off on a deal saying, all right, the Wisner ladies are going to get 40% of it, which was against state law and still is, unless the city wanted to take their 40% and the other beneficiaries out of their share and give it to the sisters. So then in 2014, all of that is rendered moot. It should be, because the trust is over, and by Louisiana law, both the property and the revenues obtained from it should have reverted back to the city. But they didn't. They entered into a temporary agreement to keep giving the other beneficiaries royalties. And then in 2020, Mayor LaToya Cantrell, basically without council approval in secret, I don't know if that's pejorative or how you want to phrase it, signed a ratification, modification, amendment, which basically reset the deal that was set in 1928 or 29 into perpetuity forever. Is that accurate?
That is an excellent summary.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back if y'all have any questions. Professor Tim, bring the professor down, please, so she doesn't have to comment on this. I'll tell you this. This stinks. There's a lot of money, and I think this is exactly, this speculation on my part, what Bob Serrazoli was talking about and what ran him out of town. Because you're talking about a lot of money over a long period of time. I don't know what kind of accounting there is for this and what isn't. I presume it'll come out, and we'll ask the professor this. during discovery as this suit continues along. But I'll just say this, half jokingly, if I get killed in an accident or my car blows up or something, please, Tim, have Newell look into this, because it would be a hell of a coincidence. 938, 22 till 10, traffic now on WWL. 943, 17 before 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL, trying to connect the dots and explain what's going on with this Wisner Trust. Monica Wahoff Wallace, a professor, Advocacy Center Executive Director and Professor of Law at Loyola, nice enough to take an hour of her time teaching us a little bit about trust law and explaining what could possibly be going on here. So I guess, Professor, my question is, and I asked it before the break, as part of the suit that the city filed, would discovery enter into this, and would, or can the public find out what the hell's going on with the money, or where the money's going, or whatever? I know somebody sent me a story here about, and I don't mean to bring you into this, but about Nagin, Mayor Nagin and Curtis Mayfield, and about library money. But I don't know if you start drawing off branches from the Wisner Trust and beneficiaries, where that money goes and what part of it is Wisner money and isn't. Budgetarily with the city, does that get lost in the flow, or can you figure out where it goes?
Yeah, I am not sure. I would think that the advisory commission, which was the commission set up back when the compromise happened in 1929, it's made up of a 5-member board, the mayor, a representative of Tulane, of LSU, of the Salvation Army, and a representative of the Windsor Ladies. They gave advice and consent to the mayor as trustee on the distribution of the proceeds. So, and in that 2014 litigation, the court decided that this was a public meeting of the advisory committee, and that the mayor had to get advice and consent of the advisory committee. So one would hope that they were overseeing, as they were required to do, where the money was going. And I would think, because this board had meetings, there should be minutes that would show who received the funds coming out of the Wisner Trust. Now, the city council, in the litigation they just filed, is attempting to get the money from the private individuals to all benefit the city because it's so lucrative. And I don't know that the city council, at least in this lawsuit, is looking as to who received the money from the city for the years, but ensuring that from 2014 on, the city should have been receiving the revenues from the Wisner Trust.
Going back to 1914, checking my notes here, as it was set up, Wisner himself made no provision for the so-called Wisner Ladies, right?
That's correct.
And these Wisner Ladies were who again?
His wife and his two daughters.
Miffed, apparently, that he set up this trust and excluded them?
Well, that's what's a little unclear, because they didn't sue until 13 years later. Mm-hmm. And at least through some of the readings, you know, news articles way back when, he was very wealthy. It's not as though he gave his entire wealth to the city of New Orleans. I mean, he didn't believe he was going to die the next year. Mm-hmm. So he made this gift, and he owned other property. So it's not clear to me whether under state laws of community property and forced heirship laws, how much his wife and his daughters would have been entitled to. And we don't have anything about what he died possessed of to determine what they would have been entitled to. But it sounds as though by 13 years after his death, they didn't have any money, and so they were seeking to get money out of the Wisner Trust. And I don't know, did they spend money and needed more money? Did some lawyer just advise them that they might have rights? That's unclear, because they filed suit, and then a year later, the city settled the lawsuit with them, giving them 40% of the revenues.
I would presume they needed or certainly wanted the money, or they wouldn't have began this proceeding. So where do the iniquities of Louisiana law, as it relates to forced heirship fit into this, do they? Would this have happened in another state, or is that a red herring and got nothing to do with any of this?
Well, it certainly has to do with whether the daughters were entitled to any money back in 1929. Forced airship laws would have had an impact on that. And the outside of Louisiana, an individual, in community property laws would impact this as well, because if the marshland that he gave away was community property, then his surviving spouse might have some claim as well back then. So we don't really know what claim they would have had. I mean, one would hope that the city's lawyers back in 1929 determined that they were entitled to something, but they were, in my opinion, trying to give them the revenues. And the stream of revenues under the trust ended in 2014. So the fact that they are still receiving money from the Wisner Trust seems contrary to the trust document and contrary to law.
Nobody questioned that, apparently, in 2014 or even in 2020 until the city council filed suit. Is that legally the first challenge?
That is very curious to me, because Mitch Landrieu is a smart guy, mm-hmm. and the decision from the Fourth Circuit came down in September of 2014, and it said that the trust terminated in August of 2014. So when this decision came out, the mayor knew that the trust terminated. So at that point, it's surprising to me that the mayor did not say, all right, now it's our land. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't sure if that was accurate, then he could have asserted his rights as the owner of the land under the trust, and the Wisner ladies could have sued then. Heirs at that point. The Wisner ladies were dead.
What precipitated the court action that said the trust was dead in 2014?
I'm trying to think of who actually filed the lawsuit. It was to determine whether the trust was perpetual. So someone was claiming that the trust was perpetual, and there was also a question of whether the mayor had to seek advice and consent of the advisory committee, and whether the meetings were subject to the open meeting rules, that parties were able to be present during the meetings of the commission.
In terms of royalties or proceeds from the land, not proceeds, what was the other word you used? Income and revenues,
income,
et cetera. Do
yeah.
you have any idea how much we're talking about currently or how much we could have been talking about? Because let's face it, in 1919, $1 million was a lot of money as opposed to perhaps now. But do we have any idea how much money we're talking about either in total or as of current this year?
There's a statement made in the 2014 court opinion that it looks like the revenue for that year was $7 million. I want to say that I read somewhere that in 2018 it was $9 million. It's in the total revenue being generated from these royalty interests is several million dollars every year. So when the trust terminated in 2014, we're already 8 years out. So if the average is $7 million, and we're already talking $56 million.
What happens next, Professor? What do you think?
So the city council has filed suit in civil district court, and they served the city, is my understanding. So at this point, I would think discovery would begin, and the court, I think, will ultimately decide the validity of this ratification and amendment agreement, which the city council is asking for declaratory relief that the agreement is absolutely null, and they're also asking for injunctive relief, which would mean that right now the court could enter an injunction preventing any monies from coming out of the former Windsor Trust. So that would at least be held. No one would be receiving it until this litigation is resolved.
Practically speaking, I'm thinking discovery is only going to go as far as the cleanliness of the hands of those looking?
Yes, and a lot of these issues are legal issues. Mm-hmm. Because if a court can decide the agreement is null, and it's absolutely null, then from 2014 forward, all of that income belonged to the city of New Orleans or these charitable beneficiaries if the agreement's null.
Professor, thank
you. The court has to decide that.
Thank you. We'll talk again. I find it fascinating. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Professor Monica, you too. Hoff Wallace, Advocacy Center, Executive Director and Professor of Law at Loyola 954.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.